So let's talk about this Taylor Swift tax and the idea that the larger venues give a £1 levy on top price tickets, and that money then goes to grassroots venues. Front row seats for Taylor Swift's Wembley Stadium shows this summer are being traded for up to £6,000. £6,000, wow. And Britain's grassroots live music scene is facing collapse of 125 music venues closing their doors in the last year. So it's a real contrast. But let's get some reaction on this. So we're joined on the line by Elaine McGinty from the Fiery Burning Wakey. Morning, Elaine.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you. Good to talk to you. What do we think about this then? This idea of the bigger music venues, you know, the likes of Taylor Swift, you know, £1 added onto tickets, going to venues like yours at Firebird. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, so this is something that the Music Venues Trust have been talking about, and they've been talking about in Parliament as well. And it's also a model that works in France. So it's the standard there that parts of live show, there's a 3.5% levy. The Music Venues Trust model is less money. Enter Shikari have already done it as well in this country, and it worked very well. And it doesn't go actually on the ticket price. Although arguably you think, well, if the ticket price is £100 plus, the pound isn't anywhere near even what the booking fee is. But it comes out of the total cost of the show. And the reason, it's no different as well. Premier Football League teams do have a tradition of helping their pipeline. So it's something that's needed, because they recently did a piece where that showed it out of Reading and Leeds festivals, for example, if you stripped out all the acts that played and started out in grassroots music venues, there'd be 7 acts playing at those events.
That'd be noticeable, wouldn't it? Yeah, the impact of that,
So, and like Amy Winehouse, for example, was, you know, playing at the Dublin Castle. So the pressures on the grassroots music industry are obviously things like the pressures on lots of other businesses, but the cultural pipeline they provide, just like with anything, it's not just bands, it's also, you know, engineers and events and the transferable skills that we have people training in ours, with skills that, yes, they could take into the music industry, but actually they could take anywhere, because it helps give them confidence. So I agree with it, but I don't think it's unworkable, and I think that one of the things that sparked it is that large stadiums are being built in this country, while at the same time that more grassroots venues were going under. And the idea that Music Venues Trust had is that the money goes into a central fund that's then used to support grassroots music venues. It's a managed kind of fund.
And these grassroots music venues, I mean, like the Firebird, you know, it's giving people an opportunity to get their music out there, and, you know, these people could be, you know, the big stars of the future, potentially. So, you know, it's important to sort of nurture that talent at that stage, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, if you wanted to look at it on just an industry and not just the social and well-being and cultural issues, it was noticed a few years ago that there was a gap in people coming through in science and technology, and there was a big push towards that to sort of kind of bring that up and level the playing field and get more opportunity out there for people. And the creative industries is not just a nice to have, it's a real driver for the economy in this country and in local economies, because the grassroots venues are the things that local people go to. It keeps the money staying in the boroughs and towns that they're in, and generally they're sort of, if they're not, like ours is a charitable model, some of them are independent businesses, but there's still people that are living and working in their area, doing something for their area.
And isn't it interesting looking at sort of the reaction from, some of these larger venues and people putting on, you know, these big sort of gigs where they charge loads for tickets. They're saying there's been significant cost increases since COVID, like salaries for skilled crew, which is in short supply, security as well. They're saying that, you know, margins are already tight. So, maybe they're kind of against it for that reason.
possibly they're against it for that reason. They're probably not going to get much sympathy from me because everyone who's at an event at our venue are volunteering already.
Yes.
So it's a kind of moot point when you think that these shows, these large shows that are taking over stadiums, are also doing it in Europe, where they have this levy long established and it's a much higher percentage than MVT are suggesting.
Interesting. So, yeah, you're obviously all for it. I mean, how would that, if that was to happen and that sort of money, we don't know the sort of the figures that would come down, but the money was to sort of trickle into to your coffers at the Firebird, I mean, how would that help you?
Well, it would be an industry sustaining itself, and it would help people move into, to a, like for us, for example, ours is a mixed model. So we do have the live music venue, but we also have the community and, you know, all of that work going on. And what would then happen is that these grassroots music venues could open more for those things and actually start, you know, inputting funds into their local communities, but also it regenerates. We have an issue with, as I say, we haven't. It's not just the number of artists, if you strip them out, that didn't play live music venues, but the headliners are becoming very heritage, which there's nothing wrong with. I love all that, but if you're talking about where the Rolling Stones, what's that next band? If they haven't got a kind of a pipeline to go through, what's going to happen? And Music Venues Trust have often cited the fact that the grassroots music circuit is the research and development arm of that part of the cultural life of Britain. And everybody has a song or something or music in their background, you know, whether it be at the wedding, christening, a baby being born, all of those things. And if that isn't nurtured, it's going to just go.
So important, particularly in Woking as well. I know when you started the journey with Firebird, you were saying there's no real kind of live music venue, no kind of space like you provided. We know that there's been an incredible journey for you, but lately, you know, the break-in at the Firebird and the damage caused. I mean, what impact's that had on what you're doing?
A monetary impact in terms of the fact that we've had to close for, you know, just before Easter when we had a full program booked and gigs moved and so on, and even the postponed gigs, that's caused another impact because they're taking up dates that we had other people wanting. So although we've managed to reschedule a lot of the things, it's not going to replace that. So the financial impact has been massive because our funding was, we're not funded, so we were trying to build up by trade after several different challenges that we've got through recently. So there's that impact, but there's also the social impact of the work that comes in with charities like Surrey Choices, come in with supported volunteering for their clients, so they can't come in. And some of those clients of theirs became part of our team and helped run the venue. So they're feeling very isolated because they can't come in to work. We can't open the venue at the moment because it's not safe and the damage is still there.
Yeah.
And then there's a small creative startup business in the venue. She's now not able to open. So it's had an awful impact on her. And things like the training and stuff that we had planned, the friendship groups we were going to start with people who didn't have any funds and refugees who just come out away from Afghan and Syria.
Massive impact on the community then.
Yeah. So much of, and then obviously, you know, you well know the Linkable Mayhem event, which is one of our favourites to run. That was due to be last weekend and that had to be cancelled. So the bands haven't been able to go on, the volunteers haven't been able to work, we've not been able to build up income to start making it sustainable. But nevertheless, utilities and all of that still keep racking up.
Yeah, you still got bills to pay, yeah.
Yeah, so it's had a major impact on us financially and socially and culturally. 'Cause the there's a lot of work goes into getting the gigs from outside as well.
Yeah, of course, the work that goes in, you know, preparing and getting things ready, and then, as you say, the impact it's having on so many aspects of our community. So, I mean, how are things now? How close do you think you are to kind of getting things up and running again after that?
Well, the owners have immediately secured the building. Sorry, my cat is just always...
Your cat on Twitter.
Can you hear that?
Love that. Yeah, sorry, I thought I heard a cat there, actually. Yeah.
He's like, as soon as I talk to somebody, even when I'm doing for my show. So the owners of... they came down and secured the building immediately, and the work is due to start tomorrow to start fixing the pipes, and because they did steal some of our equipment, but the major thing is that they... cut all of the piping out and took the water tank and stripped copper everywhere, so that then flooded the whole building, so everything, all the water had to be turned off and all of that sort of stuff. So the owners are going to sort of fix that out, and then they're going to strip out anything else to stop it being a target.
Okay, well, so I hope it all, you know, it's a massive blow, but I think, you know, you and your team, you're passionate about what you do, and, you know, it's not going to stop you, is it?
Well, no, because if whenever we think about these things, the challenges we have, you always stack it up to, but we believe in this, we believe it's worth doing, and we know that it's worth doing because of the results that we have when we do get to do it. And how big it's sort of getting. So we've got the one thing we did say we're definitely going to open with is we're still going to have the Americana Festival go ahead on the 4th and 5th of May. So that's 2 days of really brilliant sort of Americana music, blues, country, sort of soul, all that sort of stuff. It will be at the venues. So we definitely want to be open for that. That's what we sort of said. That's ideal, you know. And the owners are kind of getting everything done so that they can make sure that happens. So we're going to have a big celebration on the first weekend in May because that's when we're going to reopen. And it's actually given us more resolve, really, because we've been through so much after the last 13 years that it would have been a terrible shame for it to be just something as horrible as a burglary that stopped us. And also... And it is awful. It is horrible what happened. But nobody got hurt. And I think, you know, with so much going on, there's some perspective that we do have to pull in on as well when things happen.